This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruiak. In Stories on Stage events, actors live read an excerpt of an author's book or story in front of an audience. The author's there, too, for the experience. And Stories on Stage Sacramento is wrapping up its 10th season with an event this Friday. It features authors Christine O'Brien. Her book, Crave, A Memoir of Food and Longing, is a bestseller. And Jen Palmaris Meadows with an excerpt from her memoir in progress. It's titled Betting on Brown. Jen's in the studio with me. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Beth. Thank
Glad
you
to
for
have
having
you
me
here. Also joining the conversation is Sue Statz, who has coordinated the last six seasons of Stories on Stage. She is a writer herself. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Beth.
Glad to have you here. Will you add to my description of what a Stories on Stage event is all about?
Well, we gather together an audience and we gather together writers and actors to read the writer's work. And we feature always two writers, one an established writer who has possibly a book published by a big publisher, and then an emerging writer who is somebody who has an exciting new story. And the emerging writer is anybody, everybody else. Maybe it goes from people who have never had anything published to people who maybe have had a couple of books published by a small press. Jen, I want to say, is a writer whose work I have long admired. We are moving a little bit from the fiction we usually offer to a memoir, nonfiction, and Jen's story belongs in that category. So it's very exciting to have her here.
You're open to this memoir in progress being put on stage, but part of the story was already a published story, correct?
Yes, that's right. It was previously published on Lit Hub.
All right. Betting on Brown. Let's talk about the title and kind of the arc of your memoir.
Okay. Well, you know, growing up, on the weekends when my grandmother wasn't gambling or playing mahjong, we would go to movies because she was hard of hearing and she loved to sit in front. And action movies were the best, really, because they were loud and the explosions really appealed to her. So I would go with her and I would be very young and I'd say one child and one senior citizen to, you know, the latest Steven Seagal flick or Arnold flick. And one such movie was Passenger 57. Starring Wesley Snipes, this black action hero. And he said one time to this bad guy, he said, "Do you play roulette?" And he said, "No, sometimes." And he said, "Well, always bet on black." And as a child, that was really striking to me, this idea that you could bet on a color or on yourself. Like, what would it mean to bet on brown? Or to bet on myself, this skin color that I had been told so often to stay out of the sun because it meant I would get too dark, which was terrible, or to cover up because to reveal would be kind of cheap or obscene. So to really take that idea of betting on brown, betting on me, betting on my color, betting on, by extension, my family, that's really what the title Betting on Brown means. Mm-hmm.
I want to get more into the betting that happened with your grandmother and the language that she taught you. But Sue, how often does a writer's work come out of an essay or a short story where you know someone around that writer said, "Ooh, this is so interesting. Can you go farther with this?"
Right. I know. It happens. I'm sure it happens all the time.
You write short stories.
I
Has
do
it
write
happened
short
with
stories.
You?
Oh, sure. Little sparks of something that, as Jen says, happened in your childhood or happened just something you saw on the street or something that flashed in your eye will just explode and expand into a short story or something bigger, longer.
So, Jen, your work has been in the Denver Quarterly, the Los Angeles Review. In Literary Hub is the story titled Gambling with My Grandmother from the Philippines to America. She brought you in about as close as any child could be to the language, the experience, and really, as you write, the rush of gambling.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, from a young age, I was really brought up in that kind of environment. You know, I remember in the summertime when my dad wasn't home, she would say, "Oh, you know, let's play cards." And it was this thing that we were kind of doing together that I knew we weren't allowed to do. But I had this permission from this elderly matriarch to do it. And it was just so thrilling as the youngest daughter to do that. And you really felt that when this idea of risk-taking, when we were traveling to Vegas. We did that a lot when I was growing up. I grew up in Southern California, so it was a short drive. So we'd pile everybody into our van. There were five kids, my parents, my grandma, sometimes a cousin. We would sleep in one room on the floor, and we would just, you know, we would bring the rice cooker so we didn't have to pay for food. Mm-hmm. And we would, you know, my parents would drop us up. They'd say, here's a bucket of quarters. Go have a blast. And we wouldn't see them until like dinner time. And this was so strange because growing up in this kind of middle class suburb, I was very guarded. But when we were there, there was so much freedom. So I didn't get this like street smarts, but casino smarts, like what it means to like risk. And then the sights, the sounds, the colors, everything was so bright compared to kind of the everyday, the same suburb tract homes. And then it was like Vegas, bam.
On Friday, Justine Lopez and Kelly Ogden are the actors who will perform the readings. Justine Lopez recorded a bit that plays quite beautifully off of your description, Jen. So here's a little bit of the memoir in progress, Betting on Brown.
When we run out of quarters, my brother and I drift from the arcade and troll the casino from the sidelines, hovering near a sign that reads, "No one under 21 years of age is allowed in gaming areas." I breathe in the smoke, relish the sounds. There is rhapsody in gambling, and the music is always with me. The casino floor is a chorus that never slows to inhale. Sopranos, clanging sirens and jackpot bells, altos, waitresses in bodysuits and stockings chanting their unending refrain, "Drinks, drinks, drinks, kino, kino, kino." At the tables, the sounds are softer, though no less enchanting. The tantalizing ripple of cards being shuffled, and the slip, slip, slip as they are dealt. The click, 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 click of chips dancing across the green felt. A ball skipping along the roulette wheel in hypnotic timpani.
That is Justine Lopez reading from Jen Palmaris Meadows' memoir in progress titled Betting on Brown. And that's a sense, Sue, of what happens at a Stories on Stage event.
Absolutely, yes. It's sort of, I'm just listening to this. I was getting chills because that kind of magic just is—it's amazing. The lights go down, the story begins. You're sitting in the dark, and someone is reading you something incredibly magical, like a scene, and it just evokes it. It's like being a child being read to, and there is nothing quite so satisfying as just hearing the words come out and the story come out, and just listening to it. It's wonderful.
So that's going to be a new experience for you, won't it, Jen, on Friday night?
It will be. You know, I have done my own readings, but it's always interesting when somebody else takes your work and they make it into something new. So that'll be very exciting.
Right. Go ahead.
More than one writer has said, "Oh, I learned so much just listening to somebody else read this story." Mm-hmm. And quite a few writers said, "I really loved not having to read my own work because I read it so much, and it was so nice to hear somebody else's take on it." Hmm.
So the Stories on Stage event is Friday, this Friday, at the Clara Auditorium in Midtown Sacramento. Doors open at 7. Readings begin at 7:30. We'll post a link with more information. I have to go back to your gambling family, Jen, and why it was in your family that gambling was so popular and happened so much.
Gambling is very common in Filipino culture. I mentioned in this piece, you know, when I went back home, game cockfighting is very popular. It's just part, it's a national pastime. My dad took me to a fight when I was 10 years old and was pretty much like, "Sit here, I'm gonna have a good time, you're all right."
And you were really captivated by it.
Yes. I mean, I think I was confused. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know anybody who spoke the language. But it was very fascinating to be a part of this moment. But also, you know, when you go to any family event, Filipino family event, there's a mahjong table. You know, the grandmas will be playing there, or the lolas will be playing there. There are card games. And it's just in the culture so much that they're always playing games and gambling. Really.
How much, can I get an honest answer here? How much do you gamble now?
Not much, not as much as I would like to, honestly, which I think is such a good thing. I have, I'm much more cautious, I would say. When I do go to the casino with my family, with my parents, I am much more an observer now. And I love being around it and watching, but I can't be in there taking those kinds of monetary risks. But it's a very vicarious experience. And it's the same as when I was a kid, when I was wandering around those casinos, like taking it all in. I'm doing a lot of the same now, and I'm just naturally more of an observer than a in the middle of it kind of a person. Hmm.
So Jen is among those emerging writers that have a collective thank you to you, Sue, for your last 6 years of steering this and a decade of stories on stage. You'll be handing the reins over. But tell me how you've seen the community of writers grow and the audience for this type of literary event.
It's been really fascinating to see, because you think, oh, nobody reads literary fiction. They want to read something more popular. But the truth is, we've really seen an audience growth and a fascination with what's coming next, and the ability of a writer and an actor to interpret a writer's work and mesmerize an audience has really created a buzz and created a community around literary fiction. And then we've expanded it into nonfiction now, into memoir. And also, I dipped my toe into genre a little bit. We had a little bit of science fiction and a little bit of mystery and some little bits of sort of experimental kinds of writing. So, people are anxious for that, and they listen to it, and they are interested in it.
Stories on Stage is a donation event. Usually we don't talk about ticket prices, right, but I don't want anybody to feel excluded. It is donation at the door. And for you, Jen, what's the timetable on the memoir? When is the entire...
There was a pause there. I'd like to say sooner rather than later, but you know, it's a work in progress. I'm tying together a lot of works that have been previously published and trying to make it a more cohesive memoir. And all of that is really strung together with gambling. And the more, ever since I wrote this essay, the more it's really coming together. It's like, wow, gambling is in every aspect of my life. Or gameplay, really, just risk-taking. And I think that's so inherent in any immigrant story. You know, the risks that my parents took when they came from the Philippines to come here to this mythical land of milk and honey, right? So it begins with them, it definitely.
Good luck with that. We'll talk to you when the entire memoir is finished. I look forward to it, Jen.
Thank you.
That is Jen Palmaris Meadows, Betting on Brown. Her work is featured at the final event of the Stories on Stage Sacramento season. Sue, thank you. Sue Statz, congratulations for your 6 seasons. And
thank
I look
you.
Forward to seeing you in that writing world.
I'll be in the audience. I will continue to bake the cookies that are featured in Stories on Stage. Everybody will
there
be
we
happy.
Go.
Our audience will be happy to know that.
The event is Friday. Doors open at 7, readings at 7:30. There's more at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight's produced by Helen Barrington, Kate Gonzalez, and Cody Drabble. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Thanks to Matt Pacini in the studio. Cap Radio's managing editor is Aram Sarkissian. Thanks for joining us.